So we'll read something this evening from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter.
Idam shariram purushasya mohajam yatha prithag bhautikam iyate graham taudakai partiva Tajasarjana Kalina Jato Vikrito Vinashati.
Translation: Just as a householder, although different from the identity of his house, thinks his house to be identical with him, so the conditioned soul, due to ignorance, accepts the body to be himself, although the body is actually different from the soul. This body is obtained through a combination of portions of earth, water, and fire. And when the earth, water, and fire are transformed in the course of time, the body is vanquished. The soul has nothing to do with this creation and dissolution of the body. We transmigrate from one body to another in bodies that are products of our illusion. But as spirit souls, we always exist separately from material conditional life. The example given here is that a house or car is always different from its owner, but because of attachment, the conditioned soul thinks it to be identical with him. A car or house is actually made of material elements. As long as the material elements combine together properly, the car or house exists. And when they are disassembled, the house or the car is disassembled. The spirit soul, however, always remains as he is. Om Ajnana Tivinantasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurinvinitam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Reena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shagana Raganathan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mostute Tapta Kamshana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye
Vanchako Patarupyascha Kupasindho Vyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashanito Vankarina. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Idam shariram purushasya mohajam yatha pratak bhautikam iyate braham yathavadikai yathavadikai partiva taijasaira jana kale najato vikrito vinashati.
This was an instruction given by Hiranyakashipu to the mother and wives of his brother, Hiranyaksha. In those days, even such a demon as Hiranyakashipu was conversant with the basic principles of spiritual knowledge. And therefore he was able to enlighten his sister-in-law and mother regarding these topic. He, to console these women, Hiranyakashipu told the story of a king who had died on the battlefield and whose wives were lamenting over the dead body. They were so much attached that even when the time came for the body to be cremated, they wouldn't let the body go. So at that time, the Yamaraj appeared before them in the form of a small boy and was instructing them. And this is part of the instructions given by the boy in the form of Yamaraj, as told by Hiranyakashipu. When a small boy speaks something about spiritual knowledge, then people listen. The same thing, if spoken by a grown man, might not be heard. But when a child speaks something about spiritual knowledge, then people become astonished. What is he speaking? They listen with attention. Which is a point. Those who are small boys here, if you speak about the science of Krishna, it will be very effective. Prahlad Maharaj also, while he was just a boy, was speaking about the science of Krishna to his friends. And although the school was dedicated to materialistic life, dedicated to education about how to make a failure of one's life by dedicating oneself to making money and enjoying the senses, Prahlad Maharaj spoke to his friends in such a way that they became enlivened in Krishna consciousness. And in this way, Śrīla Prabhupāda said, he ruined the whole school. So, although he was just a small boy, he knew the science of Krishna, and therefore his speaking was effective. The boys, of course, were not so interested in hearing about Krishna. They said, we're just small boys, we're meant for playing. Let's have a good time.
And later, when we're old, we can hear about your spiritual realization. But Prahlad Maharaj convinced them that no, from the very time of childhood, one should take up Krishna consciousness before it's too late. Because time goes very quickly. Suppose one has 100 years. Of course, these days, who gets 100 years? But suppose we get 100 years, you can practically knock off half of it as spent sleeping. And of the years that are there, the childhood years are spent in playing sports. These days it's video games. Then the next thing is studying in school and tests, exams. Then the next thing is in youth, if boys become interested in young girls, girls become interested in young boys. So all of that takes center stage and occupies one's attention. Then there's marriage, and where is money? Everyone is preoccupied with money. And after getting money, then spending money. Borrowing money. And then in old age, rocking. I remember back in the old days, sitting, rocking. When he's too old for anything. So where is the opportunity for spiritual realization? Childhood wasted in playing, youth wasted in romantic activities, and job, career, money, home, family, and old age. Too weak to give much attention. So Prahlad Maharaj said, now from the very age of childhood, you should dedicate your attention to Bhagavad Dharma, or the science of Krishna consciousness. So he spoke with conviction and very good arguments, and the boys all accepted. So, those who are young boys here, you can follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj and speak something about the science of Krishna. And some effect will be there, definitely. So here, Yavaraj, in the form of a young boy, is speaking to the women. In previous verses, he's said, how foolish you are that you're lamenting over the dead body. Now it's just a body. What is the point of lamentation? Idam shuriram purushasya mohajam. The body is born of our illusions. I imagine that I can enjoy it this way or that way. And nature awards me a particular type of body in which to try to pursue whatever kind of illusion I'm imagining. There are 8,400,000 species of life. And the conditioned soul takes birth in this species, this life, that life. Mohajam, in bodies that are born, literally born out of our illusions. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's explained that the subtle mentality created by the soul during his lifetime becomes the source of the next, the body he gets next. So the illusions that we cultivate in this life
become the cause of our conditioned life. The next time around. Purusha prakriti stohi bhote prakriti jam karanam sangasya sarasadhyam jam.
Here, idam shariram purushasya, of the living entity who wants to enjoy. Yata pratak bhautikam yate graham. His house is different from him, but he's thinking the house to be practically identical with him. He's thinking, this is my house. And the house is so much a part of his life that it's as if it were an extension of himself, the way my arm is an extension of my body. He thinks of the house as a further extension of himself. Or Prabhupada adds the example of a car. The car is also mohajam. Especially in some of the wealthier countries, we see cars that are reflections of the illusion of the owner. You see a red-hot car, and you can understand something about the mentality of the owner. Sometimes it's a car, that, you know, like a sports car, zoom, zoom. And you can see the mentality of the owner there. Sometimes it's a big, fat, luxury car that says to the world, I am a big, fat, prosperous man. Sometimes it's one of those exclusive German cars that cost a lot of money, or a Rolls Royce, or something like that. So again, he wants to tell the world, this is who I am. Or more recently, these Humvees, since the Gulf War, these vehicles have become prominent that have a sort of military appearance, you know, all purpose, ready to go out there into the desert and kill terrorists. Look to them, you know, very macho, very masculine kind of a car. Little bigger wheels and higher up on the suspension. So even though he's something like a stock clerk, in his imagination he's a war hero, or at least has similar prowess, and it's projected through this car. So it's mohajam. It's a batch of tin, plastic, and other such ingredients put together in such a way that it helps further his illusions. He's imagining himself to be such and such a person who's sporty or powerful or rich. And he wants to impress others with these qualities. So the car is mohajam. And it's illusion because at any time the car could be totaled, as they said, destroyed in an accident. Or it's mohajam because he's imagining that he's sporty, or that he's wealthy, or that he's powerful. And meanwhile, he's working like a dog. Meanwhile, he's working like a dog to pay for the car. Because the car isn't even his, it's all in the back of the car. Anyway, this is mohajam. And the next thing is he identifies with that car very strongly. The car is practically
again, the manifestation of who he is. Motorcycles also. You see young people with motorcycles. And then if the car is hit, if it's in some accident, and he gets out of his car, "You hit me!" No one has touched him, but because he identifies with the car, he exclaims in this way, "You hit me." And other people also identify with the car, identify him with the car. So they say that they think they identify the person as a yellow car or a BMW or whatever it is. Practically, just like we see the president's car moving, and we think, "There goes the president." We haven't seen the president. For all we know, there might be a cocker spaniel in the car, a dog in the car. But we identify the car with the president, and so by seeing the car, we say, "There goes the president." In a similar way, we identify the body with the self. Actually, this body has nothing to do with me. I'm not this body, and if I look at the body and break it down into its elements, kuna petri tatuke, it's a bag of so many material things. But I identify myself with this body so much that I think, this is myself. I'll just get my place back here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, your chanting worked. So the body is obtained. Udakai partiva taijasa. It's a combination of earth, water, fire. The bones are like earth. The blood and so many other things are like water. There's digestive fire. There's some fire in the body, and so we have a temperature in Fahrenheit, it's 98.6. I don't know what it is in Celsius. What is it in Celsius? 36. Something like that. Anyway, there's a normal temperature, which is warmer than some of the surrounding temperature might be, because there's fire in the body. So these body is made of these material elements, earth, water, fire. Bhagavad Gita completes the list. Air, sky, and then there's the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego. But these elements combine to make the body, and then they're destroyed. Kalena, jata, vikrita, vinashati. The body is born at a certain time, and then it's transformed in various ways. Just like a girl is born, and parents think she's cute, nobody else thinks she's particularly interesting. But then when she's 16, 18, she becomes a beautiful young girl, and so many people are interested. And then when she's 40, a lot of the interesting features are no longer so interesting. When she's 60, when she's 80. And the man also, he's young, he's handsome, he's strong. His body is impressive. When he's 60, when he's 80. It's just like an old beat up car. People are even surprised that the car is still on the road sometimes. And to keep it running, you have to fix this, you have to fix that, you have to fix this. Sometimes you can't even find the parts anymore. You have to do without them. So the body is like that. Yantra Rudhani Bhaya. Body is like the car. And it's working under the direction, under the control of the material energy. We think, I'm controlling everything. But the body is a machine. Governed by the material nature. Just like the dogs. Their dog may be thinking, but he's a thing controlled by material nature. Material nature forces him to bark. He can't act like a gentleman. He can't be peaceful. He has to bark, he has to snarl. When one dog starts barking, then the other dogs have to start barking back. Because he's controlled by material nature. He has a body which is a machine, controlled by material nature. In his previous life, he might have been a scholar. He might have been a professor. He might have been political leader or a big businessman or a lawyer. But now he's gotten the body of a dog and nature forces him. Now bark. Now pass urine. Now chase after car wheels. Now do this, now do that. Because he's a dog. He's not a dog, he's spirit soul. But because he's gotten the body of a dog, he has to act like a dog. We're thinking, no, we're not like the dogs, but we are like the dogs. Someone starts talking and everybody else starts talking. Someone starts yelling at a demonstration and then everybody else throws rocks. So it's a machine which acts in a certain way according to nature's control. And I'm thinking that machine is myself. This is illusion. Or I'm thinking, this is my wife, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my husband, this is my mother, this is my father. I'm thinking in terms of the bodily relationship. I'm thinking I'm this body, I'm thinking some other body is in relationship with me. And then when the body falls apart, or the body is destroyed, then lamentation, crying, end of the world. Because I confuse the body with the person within the body. If we consider the body, what is it? Nothing all that great. It's so great that when the soul leaves, we get rid of it as quickly as possible. We burn it the same day, or we dig a hole and put it in there. No one says, this body is so wonderful, let's keep it for a few years more. It becomes obnoxious and no one wants anything to do with it. The same body of a beautiful actress that men might have wanted to kiss and embrace, now they want to avoid like a dead rat on the road. We should understand, therefore, that the body is attractive, or the body is, yes, the body is attractive only because of the presence of the soul within the body. The body has some sort of value only because of the presence of the consciousness within the body. The materialists think the body is everything, that consciousness is just a feature of the body. Then why do they lament when there's death? Or why do they even try to avoid death? When they walk across the street in a traffic light, what they call a robot in South Africa, why do they walk at the green? Why don't they walk at the red? And hey, if the car hits them, so what? If the body is everything, if it's just nothing more to life than chemicals, what do we care what happens to the chemicals? If there's nothing more to life than just this body, so many bodies are created and destroyed in the course of a day. So what? What does it matter? What is the value of this body? You boil it down to its ingredients, it wouldn't be worth very much. But we give importance to this body, nonetheless, as if it were everything, because the soul is present in the body. So the Yamaraj is advising these lamenting relatives that you're thinking about this, you're lamenting over this body, and you're not understanding the actual situation. That this body is created by illusion. It comes into existence, it goes through some transformations, and then it's destroyed. But the soul within the body is traveling from one body to the next. That's the actual situation. So, what is the purpose of lamentation here? That spiritual knowledge is being given as the basic principle for spiritual life. As one advances further, one has to inquire about the Supreme Soul, about Krishna, about our relationship with Krishna. But the basic principle is to understand the difference between the body and the self. Because our entire material existence expands from this one point of misunderstanding. And I think that the body is myself. I think I identify myself with matter and material things that become associated with me. This has to be recognized and transcended in order for us to understand who we really are and fulfill the mission of human life. Maybe I'll stop here and see what kind of questions you might have. I saw some questions moving around. Hope they're not in French.
All English.
All English, okay. Treading along on the path of spiritual realization, one experiences bewilderment. Could you explain about that? Well, the whole life is bewilderment. And even after we take to some spiritual life, there's some residual bewilderment. But we're gradually becoming free from bewilderment. Materialism is digging himself deeper into bewilderment. He's increasing his attachments. He's increasing the material things with which he identifies. He's increasing his dependence for enjoyment on material things surrounding him. He's becoming increasingly bewildered. Or you can say he's always bewildered. So to be sometimes bewildered is an improvement. One is chanting Hare Krishna, one is making progress in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes he's getting bewildered. But that's better than all the time. And as he makes further progress, he'll be less and less subject to bewilderment because he'll be situated on a spiritual platform. It is understood that one has to surrender to Krishna 100%. Does this act depend on one's determination and own efforts? First of all, we might not call it an act, but more a process. Sometimes we see that there's some big religious meeting and a powerful speech is given full of appeals and drama and emotion. And then people are called forward to surrender their life to the son of God or representative of God. And then some people are so moved that they come forward and they give their life to that great spiritual person. And then if you come back 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later or 6 months later, everything has changed and the person is back to what he was. Because surrender is not just an act, it's a process. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sanatana Goswami, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Roy, there was some discussion. Now, was it Ramananda Roy? Let me think about that. I'm forgetting now. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had one discussion. And the subject matter was sadhana and sadhya. What is the goal? And what is the means to achieve that goal? That was the question. you can understand almost any spiritual process, however complicated, however fancy, however unfamiliar. You can get it all down with these two questions. What are you shooting at? And how are you going to get there? Sadhya, where does it take us? What's the goal? And sadhana, how do we get there? Everything in these two questions. What's your goal? For some people, it's some to merge with the one impersonal force. For some people, it's to increase their achievement of material things. They approach a guru, they do meditation so that they'll feel better, so that their health will improve. For some people, it's for prosperity. They're worshipping some deity so that they'll be, their business will be successful, their life will be fortunate, their family members will be healthy. For some people, it's to realize the presence of God within the heart. For some people, it's to get mystic powers. For some people, it's to realize that they're God. And there are all sorts of goals, all different. It's not that every goal is the same. So that's the first question. Our goal is to be engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, to enter the world of Krishna. That's not everyone has that goal. They have many different goals. So the first question is, what's your goal? And then the second question is, what's your process? Okay, you have a very good goal, we hope. How do you get there? Is it sentiment? Is it by wishing? Is it by attending some religious service once a week? Is it by observing 10,001 ritualistic rules and regulations? Is it by reading lots of books and having discussions? What's the process? So, in Krishna consciousness, our process is devotional service to Krishna. Sevam mukhi jivaro, beginning with hearing and chanting. Cheto dharpana marjanam, to purify our consciousness by hearing, by chanting transcendental sound. And then giving up things that are unfavorable for the service of Krishna, like intoxicants, gambling, illicit sex, meat eating, and accepting those things that are helpful, favorable for Krishna consciousness, of which there are many. So there's a process to it, which is performed under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That's part of the process, to place oneself under proper guidance. So there's a step-by-step process. So it's not just an act, I surrender, but it's an ongoing process. Just like being a good wife, it's not just something one day, all right, I surrender. But it's every day. I'm cooking, I'm assisting my husband, I'm taking care of the family and seeing to the house. It's not just one day I surrender and then after that, well, I surrendered. But there's a process. Now, does this depend solely on one's determination and own efforts? No, it doesn't depend solely. It depends partly on our determination, because Krishna responds to our efforts and our determination. But finally, it depends on Krishna's mercy. Everything finally depends on Krishna's mercy. And therefore, we're chanting Hare Krishna, appealing to Krishna, please be merciful to me. Please be merciful to me. Kripaya tava pada pankajas, vitadhuli sad, sadrisham vichinte. Kripaya, by your mercy, please engage me. It's not that I can say, here's my CV, here's my list of qualifications. I've done this, I know this, I can do that. So compare me to others and you'll see that I'm pretty good, so you should take me. It's not that. It depends partly on our willingness and partly on Krishna's, or ultimately on Krishna's accepting us. So the devotee is placing himself at Krishna's mercy. The materialist thinks, I can do everything by my own power. Everything depends on my effort, my determination, my positive attitude, my intelligence, my skill, my training, my education. Even materially, that's not what it depends on. Sometimes the person who has the most skill, the most qualification, the best plans, is the loser. And sometimes the person who's out of nowhere wins. Person who you'd say, why should his business have been successful? He didn't really have a good plan. He didn't really have good training. But he just happened to have the right thing at the right time and became a multimillionaire. Materially, sometimes the child has the most loving parents and is the most well cared for dies. And the orphan in the street survives till old age. Sometimes the patient who's practically a hopeless case survives without any doctor, without any medicine. And sometimes the person who's under very good medical care and isn't that sick expires. Sometimes the person who's got a very good boat drowns. Sometimes the person who has just a leaky raft gets back to shore. So even materially, it's not just our qualifications. We see this in so many places where a less qualified person is in a higher position and the person who's more qualified is floating around. Because it's not just a question of our qualifications. So many other things are there. So spiritually also, it's not just here are my great qualifications, what qualifications do we have? It finally depends on Krishna's mercy, but from our side we can be determined to seek Krishna's mercy. We can be very serious about Krishna consciousness, so that Krishna will be inclined to accept us. Amanina Manadena. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has kindly given this instruction to us jivas. Why? Because he knows that we will not follow. What are the comments of Srila Prabhupada? Why? If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that we would not follow, why would he waste his breath? Some will follow. It's not that no one will follow. Just suppose if I request this, if this were an audience, everyone renewed. I say, please, please come to the temple. So I know maybe that out of 150 people, 130 will not come. But if 20 come, I'm happy. If even 5 come or 1 person comes, I'm happy. In sales, it's like that. You knock on so many doors with your product, and you expect that at most of the doors, they'll say no. But you're looking for 1 door, 2 doors, 5 doors, where people will say, all right, that I was looking for a product like that, and the price is right, let me try it. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that none of us would follow, he wouldn't give the instruction. But he's appealing, please take this instruction. Now it's up to us. And so many do follow. This instruction has been given, Manina, Manadena. And so many devotees take it to heart. They go out and distribute books. Distribute books means you have to be humble. You can't grab the guy by the throat and say, take this book or I'll give it. You have to say, I see that you're a very intelligent person and that you must have an interest in literature. You have a very intelligent face. Or you're very, I can see you're kind of a special person. And so I brought this book for you. I hope that you'll take this book. Some way we have to give some respect to the person. We may think, we may know that he's a drunkard, woman, a hunter, meat eater, whatever it is. Fool of some type. You see his t-shirt, and t-shirt says something like, I'm a fool. But we say to him, nice t-shirt you have. Here's a book that's just meant for, you know, special people with a t-shirt like yours. Manadena, we have to give respect to the person because we want him to accept his message. And if we say, you're a fool, you're an idiot, and I'm here to tell you the real truth, he'll say, get lost. So we flatter him, or we honor him, and we request him, sir, please take this book. And so often he says, no, I don't need your book, I don't have time for your book. Don't have money for your book. Not interested in your book. So then the devotee, or, you know, why don't you get a job? Why don't you do something useful? And the devotee accepts, all right, let me go to the next person. So he accepts a humble position. Amanina. You don't get, you know, people waving flags and pinning congressional medals on you, you know, government medals on you, because you went to the street to distribute books. Someone is forced to take a humble position, and one takes the position of giving respect to everyone else for the service of Krishna. So there's so many devotees who are doing this all over the world. They're following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, Ramadina Mahadeva. Just be humble, give respect to others, and Kirtaniya Sadhana. Carry on this Sankirtan mission. Prabhupada set forth 7 purposes of ISKCON. 5 of them deal with education. Please, your views and comments on how could we implement these Vedic injunctions as education in Mauritius. Well, first thing is that not, I don't have implanted in my mind what these seven purposes are. Education. And education is big. There's adult education, there's children's education, education for women, education for men. Education begins, real education begins from childhood. The Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasan Danta Guru. Generally, we're interested in educating our children to be successful in the material world. Means we're setting them up for failure in human life. This is what goes by the name of education. If my son becomes a lawyer, if my son becomes a doctor, if my son becomes an engineer, then I'm very happy. He's got a good job, he's got good money. That's not the business of human life. Get a good job serving someone else and get good money. There's so many big men who are making huge money, who have great positions, you know, the most successful, and they're dogs, like these dogs out here. Adanta Gopir Vishadanta Mishra, because they can't control their senses. Godas, their servants of their senses. The senses demand, I want sex. I want food. I want this. I want that. And they're obedient servants of their senses because they were never trained in spiritual realization. When they get married, their wife is a machine for sense gratification. They get married for having sex. And sex is for enjoyment. And children are unwanted byproducts which they try to stop by various means. Sometimes by killing the child. Or else just by contraceptives. They dedicate their scientific capability to a sophisticated cat and dog life. The dog is also interested in sex, food, sleep, and security. So we have a modern educational system that trains young people to become dogs. The dog is also not happy unless he has a master. I don't know what kind of dogs these are over here, but if they're street dogs, then their life is not very happy. They don't know when they'll get food. Their dogs are always biting one another. But if they have a master, then the master gives them food, the master gives them a nice place to live, the master gives them protection, the master gives them medical treatment. Master sees through everything. So the dog is happy when he gets a good master. And modern education teaches one to go barking from door to door with a diploma in his teeth and bark. Please take me, please take me, please take me. I'm a good dog, you'll like me. I'll be a faithful dog. That's called Shudra. Well, the modern educational system is meant for training Shudras, fourth class people. In modern educational institutions or places,
frankly, of prostitution. Not even prostitution, because a prostitute at least is intelligent. For her services, she charges money. Now in the modern context, a woman goes to college. She may be studying for MBA, but she gives her services free. So she's not even intelligent. A prostitute who doesn't even know how to charge a fee. The women become prostitutes, the men become prostitute hunters. After the end of 4 years of college, their character is ruined. And what kind of life? And that, therefore, half the marriages end in divorce. Because there's no higher goal in sense gratification and no higher training in the purpose of life or how to achieve it. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj instructed that this training should begin from 5 years of age. Brahmachari Gurukula, boys should be trained as brahmacharis. They should be placed under the guidance of the spiritual master. And they should receive training in spiritual culture, spiritual understanding. That's much more important than what goes for education in the modern context. Modern education makes your career a success and your life a failure. So our idea of education is different. Every child should be trained to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Are there any other questions?
Yes.
Though we understand the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why don't we like to see others progress? Or why do we create obstacles? Because we're envious. This is material conditioned life. We're sorry to see others making progress because that means they're ahead of us. If they can be held back, then I'll be ahead of them. So this is materialistic contamination. Matsarya, indeed. Nirmatsara Pujitam. Therefore we worship the six Goswamis because they were free from all envy. And by following the footsteps of the Goswamis, we can hope to become free from envy. What is the importance of chastisement in the spiritual life of a devotee? Chastisement is good for us. The spiritual master is not meant for flattering the disciple. You're so nice. Give me money. It's meant for finding our faults. When the spiritual master was like Krishna's chastising or rebuking Arjuna. You're speaking like a learned person, but no learned person would speak like you. That means you're a fool. You're a fool. Oh, why is Krishna speaking that way for Arjuna's benefit? One time Srila Prabhupada, seems to me I remember, that he was talking about how his spiritual master used to cut down the disciples. He said, those were our brilliant days. If the spiritual master rebukes us, that's for our correction. It's good for us. Vasan Dantaguru, he told. Therefore, the child was sent to the place of the guru. And he would serve like a menial servant, even if he was a king's son. Not that the guru said, "Oh, Your Highness, are you ready to take prasad now?" The child would be trained. And if the guru calls us, then we come take prasad. If he forgets to call me, then I'll fast for the day. Just to become humble, just to become self-controlled. When the spiritual master rebukes us, chastises us, that's good for us. How are we going to make progress? If the teacher just flatters the student, "Oh, you're such a good boy, you do everything so that," how does the student make progress? Good for us to be chastised. Am suffering a in this material world, please help me and tell me how to make spiritual advancement. Looks like I'm suffering a 157, but I'm sure that's not what it says. Can you read this?
A lot.
A what?
I'm suffering a lot in this material world.
Suffering a lot.
A lot.
Oh. Okay. Aha. That's a lot. Okay, well, whether we're suffering a lot in the material world or suffering a 157, or whatever it is that we're suffering, our process for spiritual advancement is very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's our process. Kirtaniya Sadhavi. That will make everything successful. It is mentioned that unless one is empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate the Sankirtan movement. What are the qualifications for one to be empowered? To follow the instructions of the empowered. Prabhupada gave the example that there's some train conductor, and he has a trainee, an assistant. He says to the assistant, "Now turn this wheel, now press this button, now pull this." So when the assistant presses the button, turns the wheel, pulls this, then he's also as good as the conductor, as good as the train engineer. He doesn't have to do something creative, something innovative. He just has to follow. Now press this button, now turn this wheel, now pull this. He just has to follow the instructions. And then he becomes trained engineer. I was one time, when I was very young, I was in the, I was sailing in a ship, a merchant ship. So I was just a kid, but they put you on duty and you stand in the wheel, and your job is to keep the pointer at a certain number. And every now and then they'll tell you the number to be a little bit different because they want the ship to move in a different way. So all you have to do is follow that. You turn a little bit to the right, you turn a little bit to the left, you keep it on the number. And then you're piloting a ship. Maybe it was a big ship and I was just a little kid. But as long as I just followed, then there I was, you know, the wheel and doing. So of course it's more, I never made a career out of it, and there's more to it than just watching a number. But whatever there is to it, you learn it. The senior person says, "Do this, do this, do this, do this," and you do this, 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 and this, and then you become empowered, and you can pilot the plane, drive the ship, whatever it is.
distribute the books, spread the holy name. We just have to follow the instructions, and Krishna will help us. And sticking with it helps. If we give up, then we don't get it back.
How to make people who are highly engrossed in material life appreciate Krishna consciousness, and how to change their hearts. Get them to take a book. Prabhupada emphasized books, 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 books. He really did. He emphasized the holy name, chanting of Hare Krishna. But then even more, he said your kirtan party will be heard for certain, you know, a few blocks, but the press will be heard all over the world. So books, 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 books. If we want to change people's hearts, why is Prabhupada stressing so much books, 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 books? Because the books will change people's lives. Always keep a book with you, always. You don't know who you're going to meet, where you're going to go, when you'll meet some interested person. If you have a book with you, you'll have the opportunity. That's at the very minimum. Just keep it with you, so for when you meet someone. And beyond that, if you really want to do something, go out. Fill up your bag with books and go out. Go door to door, go house to house, go place to place. Go with the kirtan party. Go here, go there. And if you stick with it, you'll distribute one book, two books, five books, 25 books. And that all adds up, and that's what changes the world. This distribution of the transcendental message of Krishna in the form of literature is so powerful. Even gross materialists can change by reading these books. Although we know that unless we place our love, our service under the Supreme Lord, everyone will be happy. Maybe that means only if we place our love into the Supreme Lord, everyone will be happy. But instead, we still love people and things that makes us suffer. Yeah, well, that's called stupid. We're all stupid in this material world. Every one of us is a fool. And so we're loving this, we're loving that. And therefore we're disappointed because our love is not satisfied by anything in this material world. Well, that's called Maya. And we have a process for getting free from Maya. We should follow this process and that will make our life successful. Take this chanting very seriously. Read these books, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, read. They're not just meant for distribution, they're meant for us. If we simply work and make money, that will not bring about the perfection of our life. We should chant Hare Krishna very seriously and try to understand this message of Krishna consciousness. We have great knowledge in these books. If we don't read it, how will we distribute it? And if we don't read it, how will we adopt it? So we should chant Hare Krishna, read something, follow. It's a science, it's not just a sentiment that I join a movement or I all very much. Hare Krishna, all praise to Prabhupada.